الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اياما معدودات سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اياما معدودات these are actually two words revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they were actually just recited to us by the Hafil, and they contain such deep meaning that if we sat and we just explicated these two words for the rest of the night, we could go on explicating through the night and we still wouldn't do justice to these words. Ayyaman ma'adudat. Ayyam is the plural of yom. Yom means days in the Arabic language. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says days, and then He describes these days with a second word, ma'adudat, counted. Counted days, established days, preset days. This is the term which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses to refer to the days of Ramadan. Ayyaman ma'adudat. Counted days. Days which you can count. Now, imagine that you had $1,000 in your pocket. If you had $1,000 in your pocket and you went to the store and you wanted to buy something, usually you won't count. So you go into the store, something costs $2, something costs $2, you just pull the money out of your pocket and you go ahead and you give it. Why? Because you know that you have a lot of money in reserve in your pocket. You don't need to worry about counting because you have so much available that counting doesn't become an issue. In the same way, if you have very little of something, you don't count. For example, if you have a few pennies in your pocket and you want to go into the store and you want to buy something that's worth $1, you're not even going to waste your time counting. You're going to say, I can't purchase this thing anyway. So why worry about counting? The only time that you count something is when that counted thing is going to come close in exchange for something else. So for example, you go into a store, there's something that you want to buy for $20. You're not sure how much you have in your pocket. You know it's around 20. That's the time that you begin to count. How many dollars do I have in my pocket? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the days of Ramadan as ayyaman ma'adudat. Limited days, countable days. Why? Because these days are not so abundant that they equal the days of our daily life and that they'll come on a regular basis, but they're not so few that they're not able to purchase something. Meaning with these days, if we use them properly, and take account for each of them, we have the ability to purchase something which is invaluable in exchange. And that is closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are counted days. Meaning these are days that we should count. We should realize that they're limited. And they are a treasure. Within each of these days, we have a responsibility to use our time and our effort wisely so that we can maximize the return that we get from these days. So this is what we mean by ayyaman ma'adudat, and these are the words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses to describe the days of Ramadan. And so that's actually why, the sole reason why we're gathered here today. We want to consider, reflect on, think about how can we maximize these upcoming days so that we can take the majority of benefit from our time. That's the goal. And so that's exactly why we hold this session. We held this session 2 years ago, and that's why we're holding it now. Because I felt that it was important that I remind you, and in the process get reminded from what my teachers told me, of how to maximize our time in the month of Ramadan. And in particular, I thought that it's most important to realize that Ramadan basically requires from us what we're required to do in days outside of Ramadan. We have to pray. We have to perform wudu. We have to keep the fast, which is special, which is specific to Ramadan. But these are the acts of ibadah: tahara, sawm, salah. These are the key acts of ibadah which occur in this particular month. And so I thought I'd go over a brief review of these acts of ibadah, some of the benefits about these acts of ibadah, and some of the perhaps means of performing these acts of ibadah. So that's the outline, and that's the goal of why we're here. So you should have this sort of outline in your mind in order to understand what our actual goal is in the next 3.5 hours. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an incredible treasure, and that is the days of Ramadan. Because in these days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His infinite mercy, makes our normal daily life magical. Now, what do I mean by that? For example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in a hadith that when you perform a sunnah in the month of Ramadan, it equals a farad, it equals the value of a farad outside of the month of Ramadan. And when you perform a farad, you get multiple levels of reward that you may not get perhaps outside of the month of Ramadan. So just as your deeds and the reward of your deed is multiplied in the month of Ramadan, so is the progress that you make for with a particular deed. For example, when you pray, you get two benefits. One is you get reward in the hereafter, and two is you get closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within this world. So when we talk about the multiplication of reward for the acts in Ramadan, not only is that multiplication applicable to the reward in the hereafter, but it also applies to the progress that we make in getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. So if, for example, when you pray one salah outside of the month of Ramadan, you may get, let's say, this much closer to Allah, that's multiplied in the month of Ramadan. So this is an incredible opportunity, one, to earn reward in the hereafter, and two, to attain a degree of closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we may not have been able to attain at any other time in our lives. So this is actually the miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has blessed us with this month. Along the path of getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are essentially two main components. One is, well, so there's this path. And this is the path that we use to get closer to Allah, the Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight path. There's two things that block us from progress on this path. The first is ourselves, the weight of our sins and our desires. And the second is shaitan. These are the two main things. So imagine that there's this long road that's thousands of miles. And once you figure out that you need to be on this road, that's called the Sirat al-Mustaqim. Then it's your responsibility for the rest of your life to go as fast as you can and progress go as quickly as you can along that road to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me give you an example. If you read the tafsir of Surah Al-Waqiyah, and if you look at Imam Ibn Kathir's tafsir, who's a very famous mufassir, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to ask from the Sahaba every day after Fajr, which one of you has seen a dream? Every day after Fajr, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would ask this question of a Sahaba, which one of you had seen a dream? And so regularly, different companions would relate what they had seen in their dreams, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would perhaps give some degree of explication, but then again and again and again, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would continue to ask day after day after day. Finally, one day, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the Sahaba, has any of you seen a dream? So one of the companions stood up. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, I saw a dream. And in this dream, there was a straight path. Completely straight. And to the left of it was garden, and to the right of it was garden, and I had never seen such a beautiful garden in my life. Then I saw, all of a sudden, there were a group of people that came along that path, and they were on horses, and they just went running and running and running and running, and they didn't look at the garden on the left, and they didn't look at the garden on the right, but they just continued to run to their destination. Then I saw a second group. The second group, they came and they got on top of the path, they started looking at the gardens on the right and the left, and then they said, wow, this is a very nice place to rest for a while. So they got off their horses, And they spent some time in the garden. They rested, they relaxed, they fed their horses, and then they got back on their horses and they continued along the path. Then a third group of people came. The third group of people, they got on the path, they started riding on the path, they looked at the garden on the left, they looked at the garden on the right, and they began to say, look how great these gardens are. And they got so caught up in the garden that they left the path and they spent the rest of their time in the garden. And then actually the Sahaba goes on and he narrates that at the end of this path was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actually the Prophet ﷺ and Isa alayhi salam were at the end of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was at the end of this path. And there were various prophets there as well. And then he finished relating the dream. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, later on, in explicating this dream, told the companions that that path, that straight path that was surrounded by garden, that was the Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight path that we tread upon every day. The first group of people who rode their horses right through the path and they didn't look to the left and they didn't look to the right and they didn't get distracted by the garden, those were the Sahaba. Those were the Prophet's companions. And so they continued along the path to the destination, which was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without getting caught up in the gardens, which the Prophet explained was the dunya. The second group of people were the people who would come after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shortly after the generation of the Sahaba. They took a little bit of the garden, meaning they took a little bit of the dunya, but they then continued on to the end of the path, which was actually going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third group of people were those group of people who would recognize that there is a straight path, but then they get caught up in the garden on the left and on the right. And when they get caught up in the garden, they forget about the path and they become people of this world. And those were to be the Muslims of the very end of time. Those people who would completely forget about their journey on the path and they would get caught up in the garden. So you see, this Sirat al-Mustaqim is a straight path. This is the path that we tread upon and this is the path that leads to the final destination, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the gardens that look so beautiful in this world, that's not the final goal. So when we are on this path, it is our responsibility to run as fast as we can to get to its end. And its end is obviously Jannah and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now on this path, there are two things that distract us, now that you have this background. The first thing that distracts us is our own nafs, our own desire. We look at the garden on the left, we look at the garden on the right, and we get caught up in pursuing it because of our own desire. That's the first distraction. And the second distraction is Shaitan. Shaitan comes to us and he whispers to us and he says, look at the garden on the right. Look at all the goods of this world on the left. And he tries to distract us away from the straight path. So these are the two primary things that distract us. Our own desires, our nafs, and Shaitan. So sometimes we make a little bit of progress, we get excited, we come to some kind of gathering, we decide that we're going to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the next day Shaitan trips us up. Or sometimes we get excited about the deen, we decide that we're going to change our lives, we start going on the path, and then we get caught up in some dunyawi thing, our nafs trips us up. So these are the two most detrimental factors to our progress in the deen. And the beautiful thing about Ramadan is that both of these factors are eliminated. Well, number one, the shaitan. That's easy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the day that Ramadan begins, the very day that it begins, the shayateen are tied up and they're prohibited from doing the mischief that they normally perform. So that's the first problem that causes us to not progress along the path. And the second is the nafs. And you'll see that throughout Ramadan, by fasting all day, and by praying at night, the nafs, the internal desire, slowly becomes crushed. And that's exactly the beauty of Ramadan. And that's why you see, when you get in the last 10, 15, 5 days of Ramadan, the very end of Ramadan, you feel like you're flying. Everything's different about your life. You're not caught up, you're not distracted by the things that you would normally be distracted by. And you're very, very quick in your progress towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because you just spent the last 20 days destroying your desires. You don't eat. You don't drink. You can't sleep when you want to sleep. These are the things that fuel our desires and those are the things that are eliminated in the month of Ramadan. So the actual science, this is the science of the month of Ramadan. The reason why we progress in the month of Ramadan. So it's our responsibility that from day one, we just start running. You know, if there's something chasing you from behind you, just close your eyes and you start running as fast as you can. It's exactly that. These days are very, very limited. Time is chasing you from behind. So it's our responsibility to close our eyes and run as fast as we can on this path, because the progress that you make in these few 29, 30 days is more than perhaps you'll be able to make for the other 11 months aside from Ramadan. Now, essential to that progress is that we perform the acts of ibadah, the acts of worship as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prescribed them. If we begin to make up our own acts, we say we're not going to pray, but we're just going to sit and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then those acts won't provide us the benefit of getting closer to Allah, because you have to go through the mechanism of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, the wudu according to the sunnah, the salah according to the sunnah, recitation of the Quran, fasting according to the sunnah, and the sharia, that's our goal. That's what we intend to outline in the next 3 hours. So what I wanted to do is first start with the concept of tahara.